Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guest, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah, protection with Allah, minash shaitan, away from shaitan. The rejected, the cursed, open and avowed enemy to mankind. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah. Pardon, so she says he. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Today is April 23rd, I believe. Yeah, 23rd. We are into the second and third day of the Eid. So we are celebrating the Eid today. I'm right here at a skating party for the youth, and they are pouring in to the skating party, all Muslims in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, we're going to play some recordings by Imam Muhammad on a particular topic I believe to be of importance. I know it is of importance to us. It is Imam speaking about the night of power. So I would advise people to get you a pen and paper or your notepad or whatever and take notes so we can continue to learn from the teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad. The first talk is about 50 minutes, and the second talk is about 15, 16 minutes. We would definitely want to see what our teacher has taught us on the topic of the night of power. So with that said, we're going to begin playing that now, and inshallah, you will enjoy it, learn from it. Each time I hear it, I learn something new, and then we can come back maybe after the first break and do a little Q&A for a few minutes and then play the part two. But that would be our program today, Imam W.D. Muhammad teaching on the night of power. And we will begin that now. Thank you for tuning in.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, this is the night of power. Comes on an odd day, not on an even day. And in the Quran, God mentions to us as signs the even and the odd, the even numbers and the odd numbers. And the night of power come on an odd number, not on an even number. And you know, Quran, the very first words of Revelation came to the prophet saying, read, and the report I don't have that many to select from. You know, we have a small number of boys compared to what they have in these other schools, you see. We don't have as many to select from. So given all the facts about the situation, the contest, I think they're super. Yeah. Yes, this is the night of power. Comes on an odd day, not on an even day. And in the Quran, God mentions to us as signs, the even and the odd, the even numbers and the odd numbers. And the night of power come on an odd number, not on an even number. And you know, in the Quran, the very first words of Revelation came to the prophet saying, "Read." And the report that is given to us from the reporters on the prophet's life, they say that the angel pressed the prophet one time, told him to read, and he said he couldn't read. They pressed him again, said he couldn't read. But on the third time, the reading came. The reading came on the third time. So this is on the odd number that the reading came, you see. And Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr, the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Here recently, I was in California, and my former teacher, the teacher that my father got in Chicago, he was of Jordan, I believe. I think that's where his home was, Jordan. And he had moved to the United States and was living there doing business, real estate, and some other business. Honorable Elijah Muhammad advertised for a teacher to teach us Arabic in our school, University of Islam in Chicago. So this Arab, he came, said he had read the article, the announcement, asking for someone to teach Arabic. So he came for the job. We had had two other teachers before him. He came, he was a young man compared to one of them. He was young. And he came and he became our teacher. And I saw him in Phoenix, not California, Phoenix, recently. And he was looking very good. I was so happy to see him looking so good. Looked like to me he had gotten younger, looking very good. So I told him, I said, "You look 10 years younger than you did when I saw you last time." He said, "Yes, I'm doing much better now." And so we got in a conversation. And he mentioned Laylatul Qadr. And he was saying that, commenting on what I had said. He was also at the meeting in Phoenix, and he heard my address. So he was commenting on what I had said at the address. And he said, "You know, this is time. It's time for us to come forward with better explanations." For the benefit of Muslims today. Now, I'm not quoting him word for word, but I'm giving you what he said, trying to recall it and give it to you as exactly as I possibly can. So here, excuse me. So he said, you know, he said another thing, because he commented on what I had said. Then he said, "You know, it's another thing." He said the expression that is translated the night of power. He said, most of us have been led to think by the scholars and those who translate that the night of power is talking about the night in which the Quran came, the night of power. He said, but there is nothing in that surah that says that. And he's right. So he said there could be another explanation of seers for that. And he explained to me what he had on his mind. And I saw something in what he was saying, but I also saw something in what he was saying that I couldn't quite be comfortable with. And I'm still thinking about it. So that's good, you know. That's what thinking does, you know. Thinking permits us to see things, or to start, begin trying to see things that we had never tried to see before, you know. And this is the beginning of inquiry in a new area, study, and it may cause some of us to disagree and may bring about argument, but that's the way progress is. That's how progress comes, you know. So anyway, not that I would argue with him. I have a lot of respect for him. I would have a discussion with him. And we are going to have some more discussion, because I'm going to see him. We're going to talk. We're going to have more discussion. But something he said that I think we should, I would say, look at. And that is the possibility that this surah is talking about the beginning of creation itself, how the world was created. It says in the night of power, what will make you know what it is? So obviously this is something that is not known. This was something that was not known, or perhaps is not known. Something that's not known. I said, what will make you know what it is? So that kind of expression in the Quran, usually when we see that expression, we know exactly what God wants from us. God wants us to think about that. God wants us to reflect on that, to study it. God wants us to realize that we don't know it yet. This is talking about something that you don't know yet. What will make you know? So you don't know it yet. What will make you know what the light of power is? Then it says the light of power is greater than 1,000 months. Now this is not telling you what the light of power is. This is just telling you that it is valuable, very valuable. This is something that's very valuable. It's like saying, what I'm talking about is worth $1,000. I'm not telling you what it is, I'm just telling you how precious it is, or how valuable it is. The light of power is better than 1,000 months. Says, in it descend the spirit, Ar-Ruh, the spirit. And this spirit is the Holy Spirit. This spirit is the great spirit, the Holy Spirit. In it descends the spirit and the angels by permission of their Lord. Now, this is revelation right here. Where have we ever been told that the Holy Spirit had a Lord? Those in the religion at that time of the book, the Christians, they thought the Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now here is the Allah revealing it, revealing in the Quran, in this surah called the Night of Power, or the Power, Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Power, that this Holy Spirit has a Lord. And not only the Holy Spirit has a Lord, but the angels too. They have a Lord. Allah is their Lord. And they don't do anything except but as He wills that they do it. So it is by his will and his allowing it, his wanting it, that they are doing these things. So it's very clearly saying that the Holy Spirit is not one in a Trinity, is not a God or equal with God, and the angels are not God either. The angels were not always, but they have a Lord. If they have a Lord, that means they were not always. Because Lord is one that nourishes something in his help, from its helpless state to its development, to where it should be. That's what a Lord is. The Lord is the nourisher that cares for something and works with it and finds it in its infantile state and then gives it what it needs to bring it to its mature state, its complete state. This is what Lord means. So if the Holy Spirit has a Lord, that means the Holy Spirit was once a thing not developed, and God developed it. And the angels were once elements or things not developed, and God developed them. So right there is revelation. For the religion, Yes. For they descend the night in which the Holy Spirit descend and the angels by the permission of their Lord, Rabbihim, their Lord. All of them have the same Lord, Allah, by the permission of their Lord. That's why in the Quran, Allah doesn't say, as the Bible has it, and God said to the angels, let us make man. God said to the angels, I am about to make a man, to make a khalifa in the Adam. And when I have done it, you submit to him. See? You submit to him. Yes. Or make obeisance to him. Fetch that to him. This is the way it's given in the Quran. Yes. So, this night of power could be referring to the beginning of creation, how creation was made. That in the beginning, everything was like a night, darkness, like the Genesis says, in the beginning there was darkness. So this could be another revelation revealing the genesis of creation. There was the night, and then the Holy Spirit descended therein, and the angels, by the permission of their Lord, obeying every command. Command, every command, or following on every command. Yes. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Until the rise of the dawn. Now, what is this dawning? Rise of the dawn. Whether this is referring to the genesis of creation or to the beginning of revelation, revelation coming to Muhammad the Prophet, whether it's referring to one or the other, in my opinion, the language is the same. Because for us, the beginning of this creation is the beginning of our understanding, our own perception of it. It has no beginning for us until we start to perceive it. You see? So for me, it may be either. So that's why I said I'm not comfortable, very comfortable with what my professor, old professor was saying. Because if he's thinking it points only to the creation, the beginning of the creation, of the universe, then I can't feel comfortable there. because I know what we want to know and need to know is not so much how this physical world started, but we need to know how it is put together so we can get more benefit from it as scientific-minded people devoted to God. That's what we need. So it doesn't matter whether it began 76 trillion years ago or 5 billion years ago. It doesn't matter. What we want, we need to know is it's nature. It's nature. Now, speaking of nature in scientific language, it's nature. It's nature meaning, what is it? How is it formed? How does it operate? What makes it as it is? What keeps it as it is? What is its purpose here? Etc. Nature refers to the knowledge of the inner reality and the inner working of a thing. That's the nature. The inside reality and the inner workings of a thing. What the Quran calls the batin. The batin. The apparent and the batin. The apparent and the hidden are the unseen. So nature in the scientific sense refers to the unseen existence and workings, our operations. We don't see the atom, we don't see neutrons and electrons, we don't see all those things. But the study of matter has brought us to know those things exist and that matter is held together by those components or those parts, molecular structure held together because there are neutrons and protons and electrons, and the way they operate together holds matter together. Yeah. So this is what we learn in science, and that's the hidden of the matter. And it's the hidden of the matter that gives us the greatest knowledge of the matter and gives us also, puts us in a situation to get the greatest benefit of the matter when we know that. So this is what Allah wants us to know, and this is what our souls have been created to know. Our souls and our intellects, our minds have been created to know the nature of things. And I believe that's why the translator translated, and he taught Adam the nature of things. And he taught Adam the nature of things. That's our one Muslim brother from overseas translates it. And he taught Adam the nature of things, not just the names, but he taught Adam the nature of things. Yes. Allah says in the Quran that the merciful taught the Quran and created the human being. Ar-Rahmanu, the merciful, God, Allam al-Quran, taught the Quran, wa khalaqa al-insan. The merciful God taught the Quran and created the human being. Well, what was he teaching? The teaching came before the human being? What was he teaching? The dead human being. And teaching him brought him to life. So this is the more important creation for us, isn't it? Praise be to Allah. And this is the creation that enabled us to become creators. Yes. Creators. Inventors. Creators. Masters of the sciences. Producers of goods and services, etc. Yes. This is what enabled us to become creators. Oh, no one is a creator but God. Read the Quran again. And Allah is the best of creators. That's God's word in the Quran. And Allah is the best of creators. Can't you feel the angels descending? And the Holy Spirit? I do. Yes, I can feel the Holy Spirit and the angels coming down in the darkness by the permission of their Lord. You know, man progresses as his eye opens up, as the lens on his eye opens up to see more and to see clearly. The more his eye opens and the lens opens to capture more of the world that God created, and he's able to see it and clearly and understand it, the more progress we have. That's why there's no progress until day, right? In the story of creation. Everything, well, nothing happening. It was darkness everywhere. And then the light came on, and things began to take form, be present, be seen, life, activity, and progress. Yes. And God says, travel through the earth. That means visit areas outside of your area. Travel through the earth. Not where there's nothing but sand. Because he says, and see how he started creation. And repeats it. Travel through the earth and see how God began creation and repeats it. Now, you know, that could be understood from just a reflection on civilizations. How they rise and fall, and how new civilizations rise up behind those fallen civilizations. I could understand it that way. Travel through the earth, and that's what you'll see. You'll see the ruins of ancient civilizations, the ruins of this, the ruins of that civilization. And right there, over or upon the ruins, you see the late civilization, the new civilization. But Allah wants us to not just see that there is a sign of a civilization once here and it's gone, it's dead. And now here's the living one, here's the present one, and they're not the same. That one's gone. This one is the current one, the living one. Doesn't want us to look, see this. Want us to think about it. How did this or ancient one get started? What caused its fall? Now, here's another one that's different. It's not really a new beginning. It's a repetition. Though it looks different, they may think a little different, but civilizations that have risen upon logic, science, study, etc., they don't differ any more than our languages differ. They don't differ any more than our nations differ. What I mean by that, our languages can be tied into one language, human language. And our differences as nations can be tied into one understanding, and that is nations, how nations form. And they all form the same way. The differences are not that big and serious when it comes to the nature of the origin or the beginning of nations. If we study the origin and beginning of one nation, we have the knowledge then to understand the origin and beginning of all nations. Yes. Likewise for civilizations. And it's not, they don't get credit for this. Man can't have civilization by closing his eyes and working with darkness. He has to open his eyes and work with the external reality. Then he can have it. And Allah is the creator of the external reality and him. The subject, both in the actor and in the subject matter. He's the creator of both. Allah operator and his subject. He's the creator of both. And all the subject or the operator is doing is studying what Allah has created. That's all he's doing. And what works for him is only what Allah has put in his creation. If he gets something that Allah hasn't put in his creation, it doesn't work. So that's why the better perception of the beginning of these great civilizations is to see that God, so you see how Allah begins creation and then repeats it? See how he begins creation and then repeats it? And then Allah points us also to our own creation, right? Now we can't see how he began our creation, but we can certainly see how he repeats it. And that's all the knowledge we need to know in order to manage our creation. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know how the first man was formed of dust or of clay or whatever to benefit from this life and make progress. All we need to know is how the life is repeated. So study the sperm. Study the ovum. Study what happens when they meet together. Study the birth of an infant. Study its growth and development. Now you have learned how God creates and repeats it. Right? You see why the coming of the Quran produced great scientists and brought about the renaissance for the sciences? It's because they were taught to think by the Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, they were taught to think as I'm explaining it to you now. So, if, you know, right now, if we didn't have science already well developed in the world, talking like this would begin scientific thinking in us, wouldn't it? It would begin scientific thinking in us. And a school of scientists would be born out of an audience like this. Yes. Because we have among you, there are some among you who could be scientists. I'm among you. I could be one. And a very good one. Oh, yes, I know I could. But I don't have to be. You have children, and you can be scientists. I'm just the rain man. And we'll open the shutters on the windows, etc. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. see how God began creation and repeats it. Travel through the earth and see these things. Wonderful. Wonderful revelation. The night of power has more to do with the hunger in the soul for understanding, the hunger in the intellect for perception than anything else. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Why is the peace? Hatta means just what it says. Until. That means there's a change coming. Until in English means a change. Run until you fall out. Well, we know after until is going to be a change. Falling out. So peace it is till the rise of the dawn. That means after the night there's no peace. Do we have this in other religions? Yes, during the Christmas season. What do you hear? Holy night, silent night. Peace everywhere. So they have that in their religion too, don't they? A night that is the night of peace. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Says, and the people, they didn't differ until the clear knowledge came to them. Right? They didn't differ. They didn't argue and dispute with each other before. But only after or when the knowledge, the clear knowledge came to them, then they began to argue. Al-bayyana. When the clear knowledge came to them, then they began to differ with each other. And difference is the end of the peace, right? That's the end of the peace. There ain't peace for now. We arguing with each other. We debating each other. We're differing with each other. We're claiming that my way is better than your way. I'm right and you wrong. Look how agreeable the following of the prophet was. Look how agreeable they were during the early days of his works. But as knowledge was unfolded for them and they began to have some knowledge to stand upon, they start giving their opinions and whatnot and bringing their arguments to him. So and so says this. Will you give us the understanding of this or verify what he's saying for us? Then after he passed, they really got into it. Yeah, they really got into it. The prophet never heard of a Shiite. And you know what else? Prophet never heard of a Sunni. But they weren't existent. There are no such people as Shiites and Sunnis. Mm-hmm. Yes, Allahu Akbar. We have promised the hereafter, paradise, etc. But we also promise clear perception. Clear perception. That we will see clearly, perceive very clearly. So our minds will be at ease, and our hearts and our souls will be at ease, because the confusion will be gone. The understanding will be complete and clear. God says that He sent Muhammad as a liberator to teach us purity, or to purify us, and to teach us the book, the Quran, to teach us the book, and the rational basis, or the rules of logic for the book, to purify us, and to teach us the book, Al-Kitab, in the Arabic. Wal-Hikmah, the rational basis, are the rules of logic for the book. And then God says also that He wants to purify us, or want us to be purified, so that He can complete, fulfill His favor on us, or His blessings on us. He wants to complete His blessings on us. Ni'mah. To complete His ni'mah. That's the blessings on us. For the night of fire, the night which the angels descend, and the Holy Spirit, pardon me, and the angels, the Holy Spirit, a ruh, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, al-malaika. What are these? These are pure beings, aren't they? They are needed in the process of revelation. The process of revelation requires the Holy Spirit be in it involved, and angels be involved, and then man can be reached with revelation, communication. And these are pure beings. They come from high up where there is no impurity. Now, it's a sign that the impurities are down here, and the higher you go, the more you get into pure air. Allah is working on us. Allah has selected us for Himself. And Allah is working on us. And Allah wants us purified. Purified. Allah wants us to love righteousness. Allah wants us to love cleanliness. Allah wants us to love decency. So that he may complete his favor on us. So that he may complete his blessings on us. The blessings he wants to complete needs us first to become clean and decent in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. We got the potential. We got the rational potential. We got the intellectual potential. But that's not the state that Allah will bless unless it has decency, cleanliness, desire for righteousness, desire for cleanliness, desire for decency. So he gives us revelation that before it reaches our intellect, it already touches our hearts and it wants us to be more decent before our Lord. It wants us to be cleaner before our Lord. It wants us to be more truthful before our Lord. It begins to work on us to put us in a cleaner state, in a more decent state, in a more sincere state, before even the intellect comes in contact with the great rational message for the future progress of the people on this earth. Yes? You know, when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up. You know, the feet don't try to get out of the bed before the eyes open up. And Allah is blessing us with leaders who love righteousness, who love decency, who love truthfulness, who love sincerity. Allah is blessing us with such leaders, males and females. And these are going to be the ones to take us into the promised land. The promised land for our intellect. The promised land for our intellect. So that we will have thinkers and scholars and scientists born among us who will get the attention of the literate world. Just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet from hearing the Quran explained and taught by him. Yes. Are you referring to yourself? No, I said we will have leaders, not just myself. I'm just one. We will have leaders that Allah will bless and is blessing because of their sincerity, because of their desire for righteousness and decency. Uprightness and cleanliness, etc. Say he will purify them and teach them the book and the wisdom, or the rules of logic for the book, which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. Yes. Now going back to the interpretation of the Night of Power as the Muslim era or the Muslim age, reading on the Genesis, the beginning of creation. And understanding that the agents of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings. Pure beings. And they must descend first. And then the revelation comes. And then the dawn, the day, the dawning. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. It's the scripture, isn't it? Before, scripture, old scripture. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. So here comes the day. The day, the dawning of the intellect. The dawning of the intellect. And when this dawning starts happening for the intellect, then the same thing happens in the garden. The same thing happens for the world that happens for the garden. See, God created the man, he put him in the garden, and then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Dress the garden. So these ones who love righteousness and purity, they will be awakened, their intellects will be awakened. And they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own souls. Yes. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden. And the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran to awaken our intellects, to turn us on to scientific inquiry as well as to obedience as servant, but to scientific inquiry, same God will have us pretty soon dressed in the garden. So these soul brothers, they'll have their souls dressed up with clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now this is dressing the garden. This is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress. So you can see me in my dress. That's where I want to see a soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. Yeah. I want to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating. Automobile factory that he's responsible for. Etc., etc. Wouldn't that be dressed in the soul brother? He'd be dressed up then, wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. But now, if I'm reading God's word correctly, there's a formula for it. And you can't get that until you get the first. And the first is to want to be righteous, want to be decent, to accept purity in your life. Praise be to Allah. The night of power. The night of power. This is translated power. But that power is potential. Potential. That's potential for the work. God created our life with the potential for the great work. Now what will free that potential? What will awaken it? What will give it expression? What will release it into the world so that it can cultivate the world and produce? Following that formula, accept purity. Accept your Lord like the Holy Spirit accepts His Lord. He accepts His Lord by strictly obeying Him. Accept your Lord the way the angels accept their Lord. By strictly obeying him. In the night. In the night. And that obedience will turn the day on for you. Praise be to Allah. Now that might sound simple and ordinary to you, but that's what creates the world. That's what generates worlds. That's how worlds are born. That's the explanation for the beginning of creation and the repeating of creation. Yes. And you who got intelligence and you are respecting what I've been saying, you are standing on solid foundation, and it's just a matter of time before the world will be in your hands. If not in your generation, you pass it on to your children. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. It got into me. Look what it has done for me. I didn't know. If I had known that things would happen to me that have happened to me in these late years, I would have, somebody had told me, what I would have laughed. Just like Sarah laughed. Peace be upon her. When she was told that she was going to give a birth to a child in her old age, she laughed. Because it was ridiculous to her and her situation and her circumstances. Well, in my situation, in my circumstances, as a teenager, as a young man, as a man 40 years old, under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, if I had been told these things, I would have laughed. I said, you all stretching it too much. Ridiculous. Impossible, you know. But it has happened in this day and time. Just recently, I sat with a bishop, Catholic bishop, in dialogue. And I felt as comfortable sitting with him, discussing deep knowledge with him, understanding where he was coming from. And he knew it. There was just common knowledge between us. He's discussing it from his point of view and from his knowledge base. And I'm discussing it from my point of view, or from my knowledge base and my point of view. And we are just relaxing, enjoying it so relaxedly. The newspaper the next day carried it in the paper. His face in my nice little Catholic town, Catholic influenced town. So naturally his face was above mine. But that was okay. And they were saying that these two representatives of the two great religions, they discuss differences and showed similarities in differences. The similarities in the differences. So because he was informed, I'm informed, we were able to take what seems to have been differences between us and present those differences as not being differences but similarities. The similarity was so strong, it dispelled the differences, caused the differences to disappear. I mean deep stuff. Deep stuff. Deep as you want to go. Anybody would want to go. This is what we were discussing. And we were on college campus. The University of La Crosse. In the vicinity of the University of La Crosse. Among heavyweights. And they come up and greet your little imam like he's the scientists of the age. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating anything. That's the way they come up and greet you, oh, Imam. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank me for my wisdom. Somebody had told me 20 years ago. 40 years ago, Minister Wallace said in 1996, you're going to be on the campus of La Crosse University, on the campus of this college, and you're going to be in a dialogue with bishops. Chancellor of the university. He wasn't only a bishop. He was a chancellor. You're going to be in dialogue with the chancellor, bishop, Catholic. And when you finish the dialogue, they're going to thank you for your wisdom. That's ridiculous. Now, I have over here among my soul brothers, I have those that they hear me talk and they, something said great about me, they laugh. They can't understand it. Yeah. And when they say, you all tell them that the Imam is the Imam, they think of some other Imam, not me. Yeah, how come the Imam won't be like that Imam, you know? How come the Imam not teaching Islam like that Imam? You know? You'd be wondering if I qualify for that title. Well, Allah blessed me to go to Palestine and talk on Palestine radio. And the radio announcer says, he asked me first, how should he refer to me? I said, well, they call me Imam Muhammad. So when he finished, he said, he's more than an imam, he's a leader for the people. Now, you know, for us, Imam is the leader for the people. When we look at these Imams that are popular in the world today, we need a leader for the people, not just an ordinary Imam. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, I don't need this. I'm telling you these things and hope that you'll understand better. That's why I'm telling you these things. Allah is my witness. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be recognized, anything. I don't need that. I guess that's why Allah has blessed me with what he has blessed me with. Because I don't need it. I don't need the fame. I don't need recognition. I don't need nobody to tell me I'm great. I don't need that fact. I don't want you saying it. I'm not saying it. I told you what they say and how they act. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just me. That's all. Just Master Dean Muhammad, W. Dean Muhammad, regular fella, regular brother, down to earth brother. I don't need any flattery. Don't need a special crown to wear. Don't need to show my bald head. I might be a little vain. I thought I was cute in this cap, so that's why. But I can do without it. Yeah. And that's how I want us to be. And when we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. So it's been a special blessing for me to be among you tonight here in Atlanta. And I hope what I discussed with you have helped you in some way. We pray to God that he always keep us as Muslims, as believers. Yeah? Muslim is more important than a believer when Muslim identifies us in the following of Muhammad. But believer is more important for the contents of the person. Believer is more important for the contents than just the term Muslim. That's why Allah says, and the believers shall be victorious. He didn't say the Muslims. He said, and the believers shall be victorious. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. And the believers shall be victorious. They shall triumph. So we pray to Allah for guidance always, for mercy, forgiveness when we are wrong, for mercy and for guidance always. Ameen. So if I don't see you anymore before the Eid, Eid Mubarak. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. I'm back with you live, Michael Sahir, your host of Words Made People. That was part one of our talk today by Imam W.D. Muhammad. It's a recording speaking on the night of power. Just using this opportunity today on Words Made People to review some of his comments of Imam W.D. Muhammad's comments on the night of power. We will play another segment. It's about 17 minutes long of the Imam speaking on the night of power as well. But before we do that, I just wanted to give a few minutes for those who have been listening for the last hour. We do thank you. And if you have any questions or comments on what we heard so far from Imam Muhammad, press 1 on your phone, and we'd love to hear your comments, your reflections on what you heard so far from Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he talked quite a bit about the night of power. You know, we as a community, we are still growing, still evolving, and we need to take these moments sometimes to reflect over the information that Allah has given to us from our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad. So anyone who has called in, we have a few callers here, who had called in, if you'd like to make a comment on what you heard so far, please press 1. So we do appreciate your support. If there's no one going to press 1, you can go ahead and play the other segment of Imam Muhammad speaking on the night of power. And this lasts about a little bit less than 17 minutes. So we'll play this second part right now.
Now, going back to the interpretation of the night of power as the Muslim era or the Muslim age, reading on the Genesis, the beginning of creation. And understanding that the agents of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings. And they must descend first. And then the revelation comes. And then the dawn, the day, the dawning. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. It's the scripture, isn't it? Before, scripture, old scripture. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. So here comes the day. The day, the dawning of the intellect. The dawning of the intellect. And when this dawning starts happening for the intellect, then the same thing happens in the garden. The same thing happens for the world that happens for the garden. See, God created the man, he put him in the garden, and then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Dress the garden. So these ones who love righteousness and purity, they will be awakened, their intellects will be awakened. And they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own souls. Yes. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden. And the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran to awaken our intellects, to turn us on to scientific inquiry as well as to obedience as servant, but to scientific inquiry, same God will have us pretty soon dressed in the garden. See, these soul brothers, they'll have their souls dressed up with clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now this is dressing the garden. This is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress. So you can see me in my dress. That's where I want to see a soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. Yeah. I want to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating. Automobile factory that he's responsible for. Etc., etc. Wouldn't that be dressed in the soul, brother? He'd be dressed up then, wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. But now, if I'm reading God's word correctly, there's a formula for it. And you can't get that until you get the first. And the first is to want to be righteous, want to be decent, to accept purity in your life. Praise be to Allah. The night of power. The night of power. This is translated power. But that power is potential. Potential. That's potential for the work. God created our life with the potential for the great work. Now what will free that potential? What will awaken it? What will give it expression? What will release it into the world so that it can cultivate the world and produce, produce, and produce? Following that formula, accept purity. Accept that your Lord, accept your Lord like the Holy Spirit accepts his Lord. He accepts his Lord by strictly obeying him. Accept your Lord the way the angels accept their Lord, by strictly obeying him. In the night. In the night. And that obedience will turn the day on for you. Praise be to Allah. Now that might sound simple and audible.
Salvation on the last, and I'm playing a repeat that we had played before. So once again, if I do encourage anyone who has been listening to have any comments on what or reflections. And this is how we can grow in our knowledge by conversing and sharing with each other. If anybody has any comments or reflections on what they heard today, please press 1 on your phone so we can What did we get from this today? So we take our first caller here from 317. It's the Indianapolis number, 317-400. Caller from Indianapolis, give us your first name and your, I guess, give the city, give your first name and any thoughts and reflections you have upon what you heard today. Is your phone on mute?
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. We can hear you now.
Okay, my name is Brother Daniel from Indianapolis.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was listening to it. What do you say?
As-salamu alaykum and Ibn Barak.
Ibn Barak. I was listening to the imam while he was talking a minute ago. And he was talking about the Night of Power. And he was like, that's the time when we at rest and Allah speaks to us where we can be born in the Night of Dawn with purity.
Yes, sir.
And truth. And he's talking about when our eyes are open, we can see better.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said so much, you know, I was just trying to, trying to store it in my heart, you know.
Mm.
And he was talking about how Allah God only blesses us if we're obedient to His will.
Mm. That's right.
Our cleanliness, our truth, and just being wise to it. To his knowledge and understanding.
Yes,
that we can understand, that we must understand that he's trying to fulfill his will in us by our obedience and cleanliness and purity.
That's right. Yes, yes. Very good observation, you know, because we have to submit, and that's a willing submission.
Yes, sir.
And when that happens, you know, there's so much that's already within us that will come out. And
yes,
I like
sir.
How he was saying, go ahead.
The Imam Muhammad, he was saying about, you know, we're Muslims, but it's more important that we be believers.
Mm. That's right. Yeah. And he's saying it's important that we are Muslims as far as our presentation is, you know, believing in Allah and the Prophet, you know, being Muslim. But for our soul, you know, and the depths of our souls, you know, and
yes,
for the success, We had to be successful as believers. And what he says, and he mentioned that verse from the Quran, you know, cut off or have it, you know, that the believers must be victorious. All right, Brother Daniel,
I do thank you very much.
I have a couple more callers I want to get their thoughts and reflections. So, inshallah, you have a good day.
You too, my brother.
All right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Okay, we go to our next caller here. Oh, also from Indianapolis as well. Caller 317-450. Thanks for calling Word of Faith People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Sister Carolyn in Indianapolis.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure to hear the words of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes,
and
yes, ma'am.
Go over and reflect what he has taught us through the years. And it's really inspiring to listen to those words of his. And I hope everyone had a blessed Ramadan. And
yes.
So I have to say that it has been a pleasure being a Muslim. And you got to stay in the fight to win the fight.
That's so, right.
Fight against the evil, and especially what's going on nowadays. Stay with Allah. If you don't, you just drown with the rest of them in stupidity and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep up our spot.
Keep up the fight.
Yes, keep up the fight. That's all I have to say to my believers. So continue to enjoy.
We're just a reflection for what you just said. We say Eid Mubarak, and Eid means a victory. You know, it's a victory that returns and come again and come again and come again. And so the gives credence, support to your words. To have a victory means that you stayed in the fight. And so that's good. And we fight against our passion by fasting. We fight against our hungers and our appetites and all that. And you have to, and for the whole month, you got to stay in the fight. The whole month of Ramadan. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu. Okay. Hey, Imam Muhammad, he would give the greetings. He would say Saeed Mubarak. He would put Saeed in there. Saeed means happiness. And Eid means a reoccurring or a returning victory. Where Saeed means happiness. So we say Saeed Mubarak is the greetings. Next caller from 914. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Yeah, this is Muhammad calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak.
Alaikum as-salam, my brother. Eid Mubarak. I haven't heard from you in a while. I was wondering about you. I was going to come and find you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Praise be to Allah. There's so much that's happening, brother, ma'am. You know, you try to keep up with everything, but you can't keep up with everything, but you keep on trying. Sometimes
you
get on the phone at 6 o'clock in the morning, we'd be on to 10 o'clock at night. Some days, in all these different programs on Blog Talk Radio, AM360, Word to People.
That's right.
Right.
You know, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful that you're saying, because you remind me. Yeah, we're so grateful to see that the mercy of the teachings, I'm saying mercy, but the teachings of the Quran and what we learned from the life model of Prophet Muhammad and what with the insights we got from Imam W.D. Muhammad, to see that it has penetrated, it has impregnated our minds. And all these blog talk shows and books, there's a lot of books coming out by Imam students. It's showing that it has taken root in our lives, and it's producing knowledge and insights, you know, in schools and businesses, like Imam said just so. But go ahead and give us your thoughts and reflections, please, on what you heard of Imam speak on today.
Oh, yes. Imam was saying about, you know, that we can by planting the garden, how we stress the garden, you know, and with businesses and factories and all of that, you know, and how we plant the garden. And, you know, and I'm saying, yeah, we can do that in no time. And if we don't do it, then we pass on to our children. but they're going to plant
that's
the garden.
Right.
You know,
right.
That this thing that takes you have to have faith, knowing and believing that it's going to happen. You know, it's like the man had the olive tree. He know he's not going to live to see those trees grow up.
Right.
Same thing with us. I guess we have had that faith and knowing that what the man said is true. We are going to plant the garden. We're going to have factors and all those things. We may not see in our lifetime, but our children or grandchildren, they're going to do it, you know.
That's right. I do believe that. I do believe that. Our dynamic African American soul is pulsating too hard for it not to happen. You know, it's really full due to what we've been through and came out of. We as a people, we're ready to join all good, right-minded people of all religions and races and backgrounds. But we want our share.
Yes.
We want our share. So and the Quran tells us, don't forget our share. It is there something.
That's
we want
right.
Our
don't
share
forget
and,
your
and,
share.
And the Quran says, "Lad ten said that Siba cabin I do you." But the word ten said means to forget. But the Quran says, "Lad ten said, don't forget."
Don't forget.
He said, "Lad ten said, Nasiba cab your share, mina dunya from the dunya." So we, you know, it's plain, brother. It's plain. So you're right.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else you want to add before I go to the next caller?
No, Brother Man, thanks for taking this time. Go to the next caller. Yeah, next caller is waiting.
All right.
Thank you for,
yeah, I'm
for this
brother.
Program. Thank you for this.
So thank you. Thank you a lot. Alhamdulillah, my brother Muhammad from New York, not running New York. All right. Go to our next caller here from 910 area code. Caller from 910. You own words made people. Can you give us your first name and your city and your thoughts and comments, please?
Assalamu alaikum. It's Saeed Mubarak. This is Brother Mustafa calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina area.
Yeah.
That's good old Brother Saeed. How's everyone doing?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. Yes, Saeed Mubarak to you and the believers.
City of the 82nd Airborne Division Special Ops and all those people that are putting their life on the lines for this freedom, justice, and equality to some degree that we are enjoying here, one of the largest military bases in the nation here at Fort Bragg, Pennsylvania.
I didn't know that.
And my brothers and sisters that may have served in the armed forces or still in the armed forces, we want to thank you for your service and your sacrifices because even though we say it's free, it's really not free. We're enjoying
free.
Here to have this opportunity to even speak freely on your beautiful program, Words Make People, and many other programs, as the brother before me mentioned. We thank Allah for those young men and women that have are given their time and their sacrifices, striving to keep us safe. But Allah is the one who is the best of protectors.
I mean.
We just wanted to say, in listening to it, I came in kind of on the tail end of the program, but what I did gather from what the imam was saying, may Allah forgive me sins and grant me the highest station in paradise, is that it's the inside job. He talked about, you know, the righteousness, the purity, and the decency, and the obedience. Those are internal developments that, you know, we just can't put our hands on them, you know, like a physical entity. It's a strong inside job. As the brother, the first caller, I believe he was saying he was trying to store these things in his heart. He said
right.
He was trying to store these things in his heart. And that was really touching. You know, what better storage place? He didn't say the intellect. He said the heart. That was very touching.
Right.
Yeah, to hear him say that and to hear the ma'am express that, you know, the power is the potential for the work. I think that's what he said. The power is the potential for the work. So we do have a lot of work to do. And then he asked the question, what will free that potential?
Mm.
And he went back again to accepting obedience to our Lord. So just as the sister said, and you have said, stay in the fight, because a fighter doesn't step in the ring to lose. Just like the fight
last night,
I like boxing. You know, I'm glad my person that I wanted to win, Allah bless him to win. You know, and
that's nice.
So yeah, we have to stay in the fight. You know, I think Imam told us one time. He said, if you're going to fall out, at least fall out moving towards your objective.
That's right. I mean, alhamdulillah.
I just
wanted to say that I always
enjoy this program.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And we enjoy your support. We really do. Because whenever you call in with a comment or whatever, you know, that you have a spirit about you that just comes through loud and clear, you know, that
alhamdulillah.
It's a real good feeling, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. We do appreciate
you.
I
just want to say this, brother, man. Alhamdulillah, thank you for the comment. But, you know, all of us can have it if we give ourselves to Allah. And as we were saying in the Jumu'ah khutbah, you know, all of us went, I say this, this is me saying this, most of us went into the Ramadan as a caterpillar, but I hope most of us came out as a butterfly.
All right, there we go. That's
right. I just want to make that last comment because, we were saying, you know, don't stay in the caterpillar stage.
Yes, sir.
You know, go through the whole process. What went in shouldn't be the same, or what comes out should not be the same that went in. And Allah shows that to us in His creation.
Yeah, yeah. It is not in that same stage of development. Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask this for the listeners to hear, too. My topic for Juma just a couple of days ago was that, quote, now that Ramadan has ended, don't let Satan steal your victory.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because, see, we're celebrating the Eid. It was Fitr, but Fitr, it's from the same word.
All right?
Because Ramadan brings us back to our original nature. And they say Satan's locked up, right? Satan's locked up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't tell it. You can't tell it watching the news in the evening.
No, you cannot. Well, you know,
you cannot.
Well, they say he locked up, as the hadith says, but he's also locked out of the hearts and minds of the believer.
Let's see that.
And
then, like you said that.
And then the question becomes. Or one of the questions that was asked in the Jumu'ah prayer service, do we think that we deserve to be delivered from the hell fire?
Well, that's the reason
we
for the
don't
last
ask
10 days.
For the mercy and the forgiveness, but do we have earned the deliverance from the hell fire?
You know, and I like to leave it like that, because once a person thinks they done made it, they may relax their muscles, and they won't stay in the fight. Right? They were saying it's
funny. Yeah, you got. You know why?
Yeah, so
while we over there think we have victory. I know it means victory because you said a victory that returns again and again. Well, while we think we may have achieved, Shaitan over there doing push-ups.
That's right. You see,
killing them muscles.
And now, because Satan's locked up because we locked him up. Because, you know, we listen to his voice. But, so, why begin listening to him now? You know, because I'm like, and you can say, well, you know, I'm going to go back. Like someone put on Facebook yesterday, they were being kind of a little sideways remark, but there's some wisdom in it. And the brother was saying, he said, I hope that our Ramadan, I hope that our Eid parties is not a welcoming back of Satan, or a coming out party for Satan. You know, and you think he was criticizing, but he was letting us know that sometimes, you know, we get through Ramadan and we on point in Ramadan, but we don't keep the discipline. We don't keep the discipline. We don't stand the fight past Ramadan.
Yeah.
We should, because Ramadan should fill our tank and give us enough fuel to last us to next year.
I mean.
Yes, sir.
You know,
I said,
you
what,
said
okay, go ahead. Well, I'll make sure that point.
I was looking at reading the book with another a friend, Imam. It was dealing with habits, you know, the forces of habits. And here in North Carolina at Duke University, they did a study. You know, they were studying habits, human behavior, and they said they came to the conclusion that 47% of what we do in terms of our decision-making process, it's not conscious decision-making. We're making decisions out of habits. And so I thought that was very significant.
Wow.
Because a lot of things that, like you were saying about that Facebook post, when we return, sometimes we just return right back. Like you say, we don't stay in the discipline structure. We don't maintain it, and we fall right back into the habits. The habits come right back in, and they take back over. And it some of us treat it as if we never were in Ramadan, striving for that discipline, striving for that structure, you know. But Allah says he did not wish difficulty. He wished ease, that we may complete and that we may remember him and give gratitude, glorify and praise him. To me, that was the that was part of the purpose there in that ayat. I think it's ayat 185, that he give us the purpose of why we are making this sacrifice, why we going through the boot camp, why we doing this training. And it's not for Allah. That's one thing I want to make very clear. It's not for Allah at all.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
And the beauty is, though, he does give the reward.
I mean.
Not a reward.
In abundance.
So, you know, it keeps on coming. Thank you for allowing me to share. And I love
the
program. I love what you're doing. And it's so educational.
I didn't say this here. I got a caller on the West Coast. Hold on. Oh, did he go? I lost him. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe he'll come back. Okay. If I try to get to him. Well, okay. But we're going to begin a program next week, inshallah, very soon, to where we're going to the commentary of the Quran, and we're working on it, talking to a printer right now. To get the book out again, we want to have a Saturday show where we read from the book a page or two and then do the same thing we're doing today. So, okay, I'm going to move on. Thank you, brother.
And may Allah continue to reward you, your community there in Indianapolis, and may he have mercy and continues to keep all the believers, no matter where they are, in his grip of peace, safety, and security. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, alhamdulillah. So we want to keep in mind that this is station IWDM, and we are on really almost 7 days a week. I'm coming up, as I said, beginning on Saturday. We got a new program coming to read from the commentary of Imam Muhammad. But we have a number of good programs that are on a regular basis, and we try to mention a few of them. And also, dear believers, don't forget to support Muslim Journal newspaper. That is our newspaper. That is our blessing. So go to www.muslimjournal.net. Again, www.muslimjournal.net. And you can order the paper online, or you can do the hard copy subscription. We want to support the Muslim Journal newspaper. That is our blessing, that is our institution that Allah has given to us. So we're going to see, can we find what some of the other programs that come on. I'm trying to get them to come up now. Okay, we have on Mondays, we have, let me see, can I find the Monday show here? El-Islam-based conversations, A, B, C. El-Islam-based conversation with Imam Pasha. That's every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for the show. We deal with some very good topics, common sense conversation that you will surely enjoy. Also, watch on Tuesday, we have a program called The Science of Health and You. The Science of Health and You. And my brother, Celine, he's out of St. Louis, Missouri, and that is every Monday at 7 p.m. And on the same station, same number, you call today, 418-816-4673. Call in and learn and participate. On Wednesdays, we have the Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our brother Mark Shahid. He's also out of St. Louis. Dynamic program, outstanding guests, wonderful topics on parenting and family reconstruction, the learning lab. And he comes again on Thursday, Brother Mark Shahid, with the courtship in learning, courtship in marriage, learning lab. And we can always benefit from that because marriage is a key part of our religion, half of our faith. And also they have the Muslim roundtable discussion as well. That's on Thursdays at 7 p.m. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So she is Central Time, of course, is 6 p.m. So on the West Coast, it would be 4 p.m. And then on Fridays, we have Juma from here in Indianapolis at 2 p.m. every Friday. So then we have the new show coming up on Saturday, inshallah. Reading from the commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So with that said, I think of, it may be the completion of my program today, unless my brother came back on who had a caller that was on hold for quite a while. And if they come back up, I'm going to take their comment. Otherwise, we're going to conclude our program today. We do have some more time left. If he needs to come back. No, I don't see his number here. Okay. Well, inshallah, we'll get him next time. He is a regular supporter of our show from L.A., from Los Angeles, and I don't see his number anymore. So what I'm going to do, just to close things out for those who can stay around and listen, we have plenty of tape by Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we're going to play another recording by him from, I'm not sure from when or where. And if you can, stay and listen, or just put the phone on mute and listen and go about your day. So we're going to do a talk here on Imam Muhammad. It's titled Islamic Life in America. Islamic Life in America. We're going to play that now, and thank you for tuning in to Voice of the People. Inshallah, we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Isai Mubarak.
Washington Journal starts live at 7 Eastern here on C-SPAN. The spiritual leader of the American Society of Muslims announced his resignation Sunday after more than three decades. Imam W.D. Muhammad talks about Islamic life in America at the Society's annual convention in Chicago. This is 40 Minutes.
Thank you. We praise the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. We praise him. We worship him only. We obey him, and we obey his messenger, the last prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the traditional salute to him, saying the prayers and the peace be upon him. And what follows of that traditional salute, dear Muslims, dear believers, brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise and the thanks is to God, the Lord, keeper of all the worlds. Let me quickly try to take some tension out of the air. We who believe in this religion, we believe in God, and we believe in Muhammad the Prophet, the model of the human being in his perfection as the servant of God. We believers, we know our life. We know our life. And we know what is not our life. And we know our religion. And we know what is not our religion. And we keep our life, and we keep our religion. Other things can come and go, but we keep our life, that is our religion, we keep our religion. So I'm getting ready to be more at work, to do more, to be more productive, and to contribute to the good life of the believers that I have a common history with, and also to the good life of believers that I don't have that common history with. So I don't know about you, but when I told the imams of my resignation yesterday, a big burden went off my back. Yes, so I hope that gave you a little relief. Yes. Praise be to Allah. How Muslims are to plan our life. We are to plan our life knowing firstly that Islam is our life. And without Islam, we don't have any life. And we are to contribute to the excellence of America, because this is where we live. This is where we're going to stay. This is our country. And we have made great progress in this country after being put down lower than the animals of this land. The vision of our founding fathers, some of them were influenced. After they read the Quran, they were influenced in a good way to become even better visionaries. After they read the Quran, after they got familiar with the Quran and our Prophet Muhammad, his history of how he accomplished so much in about 10 or 11 years, and how he worked for about 20 or 21 years and accomplished so much not only for Muslims but for the whole of mankind, as God says, "Ma arsalnahu illa rahmat, ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." That God says he was not sent to be any but a mercy to all the worlds. Then if we follow him, shouldn't we want to see mercy to everybody? Shouldn't we want to see everybody having mercy of God, the mercy of God? Yes, we should. So the vision of our founding fathers is not so far from us. One of the presidents of these United States, it is documented that he read the Quran himself. He read the Quran, and he had the courage or the goodness to put it in writing that he read the Quran. And I have met presidents in my time, very recently, who have expressed reverence and deep respect and reverence for our holy book, the Quran, and for the tradition, the life of Muhammad the Prophet. So we don't live in a world of ignorant people. Our leaders are great people in this country. Our presidents and our leaders of our society are great people, and they do respect great things. We don't always know that, but they do. I am a witness that they do respect great things, and they respect Islam, and they respect our holy book. They respect the last prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. This country welcomes us to diversity. All the other groups that have come before us, they came here because they were welcome. The idea of freedom for this society welcomes all people if they want to start their life over again, if they want a chance to live their life free of being persecuted. Then America says, here is a place for you. Now, we know our history. We know how we ourselves were persecuted. And we know religion has been persecuted, too. In America, religion has been persecuted. But that was not something that was called for by the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers planned the future of this society so that it would become a welcome place for all people having good intentions and wanting to establish their life after being denied their freedom, that freedom, in their own lands or in their own country. So we have to ourselves then appreciate this diversity and be supporters of this diversity. In Islam, God says to us, La ikraha fid din, that is, let there be no forcing people in the religion, no compulsory, no forcing people in religion. Don't force people in religion. Says the way is clear. Whoever wants the way, take it. Whoever is not wanting the way, then let him be free to reject it. This is Islam. Not imposing our way on other people. Then we shouldn't try to promote our interests and put down other people, or try to have some plan to defeat their interests or to kill their life that they have chosen to have in this land of opportunity. We should respect all people who come here who want to have their life. We are latecomers, so we should study the history of this diversity, the history of the people that came here to have their life free and be not so that they won't have to be afraid of rulers, of tyrants, who would take their freedom from them. So we, if we are going to enjoy, Muslims, if we are going to enjoy the same freedom here, then the first thing we should do is have at least our imams, our teachers, our leaders, knowing the history of this diversity, so that we will appreciate it and support others in having the same freedom that we want for ourselves. I repeat, our religion, Islam, is our life. While planning our life, we are to keep our plan in line with the Quran and with the tradition of the tradition of the life of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him. In order to be successful as a Muslim society or a Muslim community, planning our life here in America, we must know the Quran better. We must know the life of Muhammad better, because we will be forming something un-Islamic if we don't form it in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're in Chicago, I know a lot of you have heard things about old Chicago like you've heard things about the old West. You're in one of the best cities we have in these United States. In fact, I think it is the greatest. It may have some small towns with about 70 people in it, maybe 700, and that's better as an environment. But you're still going to have to leave that small town and go to a bigger town. So come to Chicago anytime you like. You have an invitation from Imam Radical Dean Muhammad, W. Dean Muhammad. We must understand also that our life is to be established in community, and it is to be established as community life. Individuals' lives depend upon community life. I remember studying the writings on how people, human beings that is, individuals, must have the freedom and opportunity to interact with other human beings, grow up in a human environment in order to become human. Isn't that something? If you don't have that, then if you are left without a human environment in the wilderness, they documented this. They found a boy. They called the boy. The boy was like an animal. When they found the boy was like an animal, thinking itself one of the animals, because that boy had not the opportunity to live and interact with other human beings. So Allah didn't create us to be alone. Allah created us to be in community life. And if you want to progress economically or business, financially, business-wise or financially, you need each other. You need each other. You need community. So God gave us the concept that will satisfy all of our needs as individuals on this planet. That concept is community life. And God says of us, you are the best community, of the best communities evolved for the good of all people. Khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. The best of communities evolved for the good of all people. We must also understand that our community, because we are a minority in America, we are not the whole society, we are small part of this society. Our community exists in the environment of the bigger community that surrounds all of us, that is, or engulfs all of us, that is the community of the American people, mostly Christians. Others are increasing in number here that belong to other religions or other spiritual persuasions, but the majority are Christians. So we are most likely going to have Christians as our neighbors. I have a Christian, I don't know if he approved me giving his name. He's Mr. Thomas. He has two names from the Bible. He's Mr. Isaiah Thomas. I've lived as his neighbor now for several years, and I trust him with my life just like I trust my life with the best of you. And he's a good Christian, a good church-going Christian. So we are to recognize our neighbors and follow Muhammad's advice to us, be aware of our neighbor, and be always ready to assist your neighbor when your neighbor is in need. This is the teachings of prophets. By me living that, thank you. By me living that with my Christian neighbors, I have the best Christian neighbors. I have the best. They only want to know if you're good and if you mean them well, you know, if you're going to be good by them, if you care about them. If you let them know that, then you'll see love come out of them that you don't see come out of a lot of Muslims. Now, I'm a good doctor. I can heal some of you Muslims if you let me. And we are also in the global community. We are part of the whole community of mankind, the international community of people. We are in that context too. So we must also be aware of that and draw from our religious teachings, draw from the Quran, and draw from the life and teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, so that we will be successful in embracing mankind, citizens of the United States of America, near and far, and winning the friendship of the good, healthy-minded people, so that we will have more freedom in this land to prosper. Freedom is offered to everybody that comes here, and you're free. But you have to plan your freedom. If you don't plan your freedom, freedom will destroy you. As so many out there in the streets that are destroyed by the freedom, as they perceive freedom that they perceive is destroying them. We don't want freedom to destroy us. We want freedom to give us more opportunity to live our life of health and productivity. We thank God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Again, we must be also appreciative of people who open their doors to us. Now, we know times have changed, so it's no big thing that we're having this meeting here, our annual public address here at the UIC Pavilion. This is no big thing. But in a way, it is a big thing, too. When you look at the fear that's in the air, because of the things that's going on in this world and how Muslims are characterized by some of the things that Muslims are doing, you must also agree with me then that it is a big thing that we are having this meeting in this pavilion. Now, we Muslims are to see that our community life is not without good leaders. People complain, oh, this place is bad, or this masjid ain't like it should be. This imam, he should do this. Complain to everybody but the right person. Complain to him. Hold your leaders responsible. This is Islam. Allah has taught us with the Quran and Muhammad that when judgment day come, every people will be gathered together with their imams, with their leaders. You're going to be gathered before the judgment, and your leader is going to be with you, so that they will be a witness against you or for you, and you will be a witness against them or for them. The Prophet said, peace be upon him, he said, religion is sincerity. And they asked to further explain. And he said, the sincerity of a leader toward his following, and sincerity of a following toward the leader. So to be sincere with leaders, your leaders, you have to be truthful with them. You have to not talk behind their back what you can't say to them before their faces. And for them to be sincere by you and with you, they have to not put their government jobs before your interests. So you are free as Muslims and you're free as Americans to choose the life you want. So you need to choose leaders who love believers and whose life that they're living, whose behavior that we're looking at, tell us they love believers. You need to choose leaders, imams, who love obedience to God, and who love respect for God and love respect for the God-given dignity or the God-given, quote, in Quran, honor, end quote, the God-given honor that every human person should be respected for having, whether that human person respects that honor that God has given them or not. We should not be the one to disrespect the honor that God has created for them. We should call them back to the honor if they are ignorant of it. Call them back to the honor that God created them for, but don't let us disrespect that honor. Respect everybody. And that ain't the first time you heard that. My father told you to do that. Education. Muslims must understand that education enables man to make progress in big, big measures. Without it, you make progress in little, small measures. Look at the societies before modern history. Look at the societies that didn't have education, that were not devoted to science, or not devoted to industry, not devoted to knowledge. Look at them in history, and you'll see how small their contribution is to mankind. Then look at those who had appreciation for science, appreciation for industry, appreciation for education, and look at the big world that they have created for mankind. So you must support education. You must have a respect for education, and you must support it. Even if you're poor, support it with your mouth, with your lips. Give support with your mouth, with your lips, for education, even if you're poor and ignorant. Isn't that how our parents from slavery and our parents from the South, when the North was open to them and they had to leave the South to make progress, isn't that what they told their children? And then they pressed upon their children, now you might do very well up north, but get an education. You owe it to me, son, and you owe it to your grandfather who's gone, or you owe it to your grandmother who's dead in her grave, to get yourself, you're free, and we were not, get yourself a good education. And with that encouragement, the early history of our people, after freedom from physical bondage, from slavery on the plantation, is a history of the rise of intellect, the rise of brilliant men and brilliant women who were our leaders and who made great progress for us in that time immediately after slavery up until the Civil Rights Movement. Then the movement changed from one of an academic movement, an academic-supported movement. It changed from that to a political movement, a movement for civil rights. We have to keep history in our view. You know, the teachers under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they used to say, history is best to reward all research. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's ministers and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were speaking mostly to a congregation, nationally and locally, a congregation that was almost 100% illiterate. Yes, we weren't intellectuals. We were trying to learn how to read. And we had programs for adults and children under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership to teach adults and children how to read. In fact, you couldn't even become a member until you wrote correctly a letter requesting to be a member. Is that not so? Yes. That was to emphasize and make you know that it's very important that you become literate. That man wanted us to succeed. I'm speaking of the teacher of my father, the one that he called God in the person, in the flesh. That man wanted us to succeed. He didn't want us to fail. And he knew that to succeed, you must appreciate knowledge. You must want to become literate. So let's not forget that, and let us go back to putting importance on things like it's supposed to be put on things, and putting importance on things that are more important than others. Put more important on those things and less important on those things that are lesser in importance. So your leaders must be encouraged to support private schools. The more we live on this planet, in these times, things have changed. Trends are different. The more we support private schools, the more we prepare our community, not just ourselves and our children, the more we prepare our community to prosper in the future, to prosper in the future. More and more, we're going to see government burden financially to finance our public schools. And we're going to see society growing in numbers and growing in problems, just like it is now. It's not going to change. It's going to continue to grow in numbers and grow in problems. The problems of living in these big cities is going to get greater and greater. It's going to take more and more tax money, government funding, to keep civilization, to keep some sign or some sanctuary of civilization. So we have to be able to look into the future. Our leaders, you're reading, you're literate, look into the future. See what the future has in store for us, and you'll see that if you want to be successful, you have to put more important on education. You're now being challenged by newcomers who come here and they score higher on the test than average Americans score. So the American public of yesterday is challenged by newcomers today to even appreciate knowledge more and devote yourself more to academic achievement. If you don't, you're going to find yourself way behind them. And maybe that's God's plan, I don't know, but I know I'm not going to believe it until I can't do anything about it. I'm going to try to do something about it. And the way we do something about it is prepare for it now. Support our private schools. We need private schools. These public schools can't teach us Islamic life. Even if they hire a Christian or a Jew, or even a Muslim, to work in the public school and teach us Muslim life, Islamic life, you'll be better off having your own Muslim school doing it, because that situation will not give you what your own situation will give you. I was told by an FBI who was questioning me during troubled times for the Nation of Islam, and I had been excommunicated, I had been put out. So he was questioning me, and he was asking me questions about my father. He took over the conversation and started telling me things about my father. Well, I know they're better information getters than I am, you know, so he didn't shock me at all. So he said, your father didn't just give money to Muslims. So your father gave money to needy Christians also. And I hesitated, and I thought a little bit. And a couple of scenes came back to my mind, and I saw my father in the dining room at the table, and I recall him saying that he had sent some money to some Christians who needed some help. So I told him, I said, yes, I said, I'm aware of that. After I hesitated for a couple of minutes, I said, yes, I'm aware of that. Maybe it was just 15 seconds. It seemed like it was a long time, though. I hesitated. Probably 15 seconds. So I hesitated and I told him, I said, yes, I am aware of that. Yes. All right. When we plan our life, and especially our schools, we should plan these schools so that we help Muslim children not only attending our Muslim schools, but Muslim children who are in public schools. We should have a program also for Muslim children who are in public schools so that we assist them with their courses, with their subjects that they're having difficulty with. So we need to give them tutorial help to help them make better grades in the public school. We can do that. That won't cost us a whole lot. So while we are not able to provide enough schools or enough quality schools to take care of all of the children of our parents, let us assist those parents with their children who are attending public school by offering a program for them too, where they can get Islamic education on the weekend and where they can get assistance, tutorial help, during the week and on the weekend. Community life is the full life, complete life. Community life is the full life, it's the complete life. Community life is where you can have full expression for your life, your whole life, where you express your spiritual life, and that's number one. You go and join your brothers and sisters on Fridays in Jumu'ah prayer, and you go and join them at any time that you can, that's possible for you. You join them in the five daily prayers as a group, and you pray with your brothers and sisters. This is the spiritual life, yes. And you work to improve your financial situation so that you can help that spiritual life. Don't you know, if spiritual life didn't need help, God wouldn't have put it in a body. God put it in a flesh and blood body. My spiritual life can't communicate to you except through this instrument, my flesh body. It needs it. Take away this flesh body, I can't reach you with any communication. Some people believe they can, but that's spooky. Yes. So value this physical body and know that the physical body that you live in is a sign from God to you that as you need a house for your own soul, your community life need physical structures for you to express your life in and express your life upon and by. Yes. You need stores. You need businesses for business life. You need cultural centers for cultural expression, for weddings, for child celebrations, for new birth celebrations, etc. For plays that will instruct the people to have the good life. You need this. So no wonder they call us spooks. We don't have a body out here in the world. While mentioning culture, I want to mention to you something that really made me feel sad. And that was, I thought when I went to speak at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, that I was still speaking, I would be speaking, pardon me, in a facility that was owned by Percy Sutton family, his business partners and his family. Percy Sutton is African-American, of prominence, political figure, a great political figure after Clayton Power, and a well-respected person, and still is deserving of that respect. But somehow the management of that theater didn't go well for him, and they lost the Apollo Theater. And then we rented it, they told me, that we were renting it from a Jew. Now, that's not to say that that's bad. You know, maybe it's better that we were renting it from a Jew. Sometimes it's better that a Jew is doing business with you. I've had some good Jews to open up opportunities for me. Yes, I have. When I didn't have a job, I had a Jew to befriend me. So this old idea that all Jews are like those that used to be in Jewtown, you know, cheating us and robbing us, telling you, how you like that suit? I remember this. Say, look in the mirror. And he got a hand full of the suit, holding it like this, so it looks real neat and tight in the front. But you don't know that. Oh, you just feel it. Oh, yeah. You get home, man, you want to go back there and kill that Jew. So we have a lot of bad experiences with Jews, but that was a certain group of Jews who were hungry in hell, you know. They were the poor Jews of Jewtown, a marketplace called Jewtown. But you could get some good hot dogs there. Yeah, I'm telling you, some good hot dogs. Chicago-style kosher hot dogs, man, they're all right. My son say, Daddy, don't say hot dog. He say, I don't like that expression. I say, what should I say, son? He say, say Franks. We're hearing a lot of talk about the one world order. Now we know people will look at the one world order differently. I guess the president and our State Department, when they think about the one world order, I'm sure they're thinking about how the business life of the planet Earth is becoming one system now, just one life system. It's no more like it used to be, each country having its separate economy and working separately and not interacting or really knowing its dependence on the other economies. But now that's gone, that time is gone. So we do have one world economic order. And I'm sure that we would like to improve the political order and would like to see the political units, or that is the nations, the separate nations of our planet, coming together to cooperate with each other for the good life, for peace and the good life of all of us, of all nations. But I don't know if that's what they have in mind for the political order. I don't know. But I do believe it's that. I know one thing. I served as a member of a special committee serving the president during the time of the Democrats in the White House, President Clinton, and I was working directly with the State Department at that time. And I was given that opportunity by the going out Secretary of State, he saw that I was in before the next Secretary of State came in. But our work didn't really start until the next Secretary had been established in that position. And I do have experience that tells me that the United States government, under the President of these United States, is very much interested in seeing peace and justice for all people, for all nations in the world. Now, that is interfered with by private interests. Private interests makes it very difficult for any government to achieve all it wants. But again, we must understand our responsibility to not only contribute to our own government or to our own community government, and don't think you don't have a government. A Muslim community must have its own government. Its government is seen in its organization and in its leaders. That's your government. Your government, the religious government, is seen in its organization and in its leaders. If the organization is good and the leaders are good, you have good government. And our government lives under the protection, have the protection, if we live with respect for others. Our government, our religious government, has the protection of the government of these United States. And we should be obligating ourselves as much as other Americans obligate themselves to contribute to this government to make it better. If we are not pleased with it, let us be as other free Americans who are self-assertive, aggressive, and who appreciate their freedom and know that they have the right to influence the shape and the future or the course of their government. Let us be as energetic, as enthusiastic, and as responsible as they are. Let us join them in working to make our government better, have our government better for all of us. I was reading in the Quran, I'm a student of the Bible too, I'm a very good student of the Bible. Some of you preachers will be surprised what I can share with you if you meet me in private. God has blessed me with understanding of the scripture, and I thank God for it, and I would like to share with good people what God has blessed me with. Yes, so I read in the Bible about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and I read in the Quran about Jesus Christ, and I read how his disciples said Jesus was calling for assistance, for people to help him. And his disciples replied to him, "We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers under God. We are your helpers for God. We are your helpers to bring God's cause to God, to bring it where he wants it to go, to take it where he wants it to go." Now, I firmly believe that African-American people have a history that justified God's intervention. I believe African-American people have a history that justified God selecting the best of us to lead us into a model life that will be a lot model life to help strengthen the faith and trust that is in people to make this world a better life, a better world, and a better life for all. You are chosen. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
It's Book TV's 5th anniversary, and this fall, we have your favorite authors live every weekend. Look for in-depth interviews.